You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Stephen Dubner is here. Get ready to zap us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. What do you lie about and why? Infuriating lies. We want to hear them from you. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Meanwhile, we are still getting responses on the death of George Carlin. Here's one.
Hi, this is Paul Munapo calling from Martha's Vineyard. My very favorite George Carlin moment is the hippy-dippy weatherman when I was a kid. It was one of the funniest things I thought I ever saw.
70 degrees out at the airport, and I don't know anyone who lives out there.
Hippy-dippy weatherman, just one of the hits from the 70s in my brain. Anyway, thank you for all of your responses. We were talking about housing a moment ago. Do you ever lie about how much you made on your house or how much you lost or how much you pay or how many furnishings you have in it or how many cars are in your garage? It turns out people lie for the freakiest reason. Oh, did I say freaky? Oh, yes, I did. Stephen Dubner is here, author of Freakonomics, co-author of the book Freakonomics, author of the Freakonomics blog. Stephen Dubner, people lie for the craziest reasons. What have you discovered?
They do. Well, it makes sense that people would lie. You know, you were talking about the housing market. Lying was a huge component of the housing bubble. Huge. Yeah. On
lying
all
to your
sides.
Bank.
You lie to your bank lies to the packager, right? The packager lies to the investors. That's a part of it. Now, those are lies we're used to. Those are lies for advantage. Someone wants to get something better than they're due. But if you think about it, there are a lot of reasons we lie. We lie for advantage. We might lie to get out of trouble. We might lie to get out of an obligation that we don't want. But one of the weirdest ones I've ever seen that we see pretty regularly is a lie of reputation. In other words, you lie to change your reputation in the eyes of someone else, even when the stakes are incredibly low. So the very low-cost example I would use is this. Have you ever been in a dinner party and someone starts talking about a book and all the heads around the table start nodding? Yeah, I read it. Did you read it? Yeah, I read it. And you know that 80% of them have never read the book. Why do people do that? Well, they want to look better in the eyes. In the eyes of the other people that they're sitting with. But sometimes a lie of reputation is even weirder, and that's what I've written about. This Mexican welfare program called Oportunidades, and it's about it's a huge program in Mexico, and some scholars who studied it found that people will lie about the stuff in their house, what they own or what they don't own. Sometimes they overreport stuff, and sometimes they underreport stuff. The underreporting is not that surprising. You would expect that people might not admit to having things like satellite TV or a new truck if they want to get in the welfare program.
I see.
What's shocking, however, is the stuff that they overreport. They say that they have things that they don't actually have. A toilet, for instance, tap water, a gas stove, concrete floor, and refrigerator. These are things that in large percentages people are telling a welfare clerk that they do have when in fact they don't. And the scholars who did this amazingly interesting study concluded that it was basically to avoid shame.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense if you're not trying to get money from a welfare program.
That's what I was about
program.
To say. Right, so right, basically right. You're lying against own self-interest. You're saying that you have all of these things, which perhaps could make it less likely that you get these welfare benefits.
Exactly. And it's a very substantial benefit. The benefit averages about 25% of a poor family's monthly expenditures. It's a big pile of money sitting there to be gotten. And yet, people have such a hard time admitting face-to-face to a clerk that, no, I don't have running water. No, I don't have a concrete floor and so on. So what's fascinating about this is not just this welfare program, although let me take a step back and say what I think is amazing about this study is economists always talk about people's declared preferences and their revealed preferences. Declared preferences are what you say you
right.
have or what
right.
you say you want, how you say you're going to vote, for instance, what you say you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And your revealed preferences are what you actually do.
I
the
do
problem
as I say,
is,
not as I do.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly. It's very hard sometimes to see how people actually behave because you can't peer into their homes, you can't peer into their hearts, you can't peer into their minds. In this case, however, they did. The data is remarkable because they had the information on what the people said to the clerks, but then when people were accepted into the program, there were follow-up visits into the home. Hmm. So you actually had two sets of data.
Well, let's look at the data then. What is the percentage of people being untruthful just as a raw number about anything? Was anybody absolutely truthful?
Oh, sure. Some are.
But it's a minority.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I'd have to sit down and really tease out the numbers. Yes, it is going to be a minority. Almost everybody lies about something.
That's interesting.
Right. Which, again, you wouldn't...
I love the book Freakonomics, by the way.
Hey,
great,
thanks, John,
great book. Really great
that.
Read.
That's a yeah. royalty,
excellent
too.
Excellent
read. Yes,
yeah. And I bought it, too. I actually bought it.
I did read it.
I
what are you saying, Adora?
I'm just saying, and we can extrapolate from the information that you're talking about. You bring to us also another study, an Australian medical study, where doctors self-reported their hand washing rate at 73%. However,
yeah, the actual
this is
so,
doctors.
So this is great. Doctors in Australia self-reported, as you just said, Adora, 73% hand hygiene rate working in a hospital when they were under self-reported restrictions. In other words, here, we're going to have a study. We need to make sure everybody's washing hands to prevent bacterial infection, to prevent needless deaths, which is
a
big
problem. Yeah.
Huge problem. And I could talk for hours about that, so don't get me started. But the same hospital, at the time that those doctors were asked to self-report their data, they recruited a bunch of nurses as spies to spy on the actual docs who said they washed 73% of the time. Their actual observed rate was 9%.
Oh,
so you go from 3 out of 4 people who say they do it to 1 out of 10 who do. Again,
I wonder if those doctors actually had toilets at home.
Well, probably fewer than said they did, right? I hate to use the word lie over and over again because it's more subtle than that, but it's important.
Exaggerate.
It's important. We are not our own best judge of our own data. Let's put it that
Self-reporting
way.
Self-reporting is suspect.
Exactly.
Stephen Dubner, we're going to have you stay with us. We're going to be talking about lying and the dynamics of lying and the motivations of lying, hopefully from our listeners at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.